Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. As you've been hearing in the news, President Obama has wrapped up his tour of three Asian countries, Thailand, Myanmar, and Cambodia. It was his first overseas trip since winning re-election and was designed in part to say, hello, China, the U.S. is still here in your region. With us now to explain U.S. policy in the region and what it means for all involved is Suzanne DiMaggio, Vice President of Global Policy Programs for the Asia Society. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good to be back.
And remind us, what is the so-called pivot to Asia, that phrase that the Obama administration uses, of all the trips to make right after re-election with the fiscal cliff looming and now with the violence in Gaza and Israel? Why is Asia of such importance?
Well, the logic behind the pivot, some people call it a rebalancing, is that now that the United States is getting out of these two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which this administration inherited, as we know, it now will be able to spend more time and energy focused on Asia. And the reason is quite simple, is if you look at economies in Asia, they're the ones globally that are growing. So this is an emphasis on opening new markets for American products, and at the same time counterbalancing what's seen as China's growing influence in the region.
Why not just go to China, go to Japan, go to South Korea?
Well, the administration is spending a lot of time with those countries, too. But if you look at, I thought it was very interesting that for this first post-election visit, he did choose Southeast Asia, which is a group of countries that, if you look at the economic growth in the region, right behind China, which obviously is number one, and Japan, number two, the countries of Southeast Asia as a block are number three, and their economies are very dynamic and set to grow even more.
And listeners, our phone lines are open for your calls about this trip. Maybe you have family or friends in Cambodia or Thailand or Burma, Myanmar. If so, what did you hear from back home about the president's visit or from your relatives or friends or colleagues there? What kind of reaction is there? How was he received? What's the takeaway from this visit according to you or people you know in your family or in the business community about this part of the world? Any questions about the U.S. role in Asia, for that matter? 212-433-WNYC. Our lines are open, especially inviting anybody who's got relations to Cambodia or Thailand or Burma, Myanmar. But anyone, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Suzanne DiMaggio from the Asia Society. Now, the president faced some criticism in his decision to go to Myanmar, a country that only recently transitioned to civilian rule. Some human rights groups said it was a premature visit. Here's the president speaking about that in Thailand on Sunday.
This is not an endorsement of the Burmese government. This is an acknowledgement that there is a process underway inside that country that even a year and a half, 2 years ago, nobody foresaw.
The administration has also said this trip is about advancing values. So what was the president's message on that front?
Well, let me first say that I do think the timing to go to Myanmar was exactly right. There are some significant changes underway in that country that are quite stunning. You know, probably most visible is the fact that Aung San Suu Kyi is now an elected member of the country's parliament. So I think this is what good diplomacy is all about, is not only meeting with your friends who you share a long alliance with, but also with those countries where you can actually play a role in pushing human rights, pushing democratization, and so forth. So I think that was the goal of the trip was to help cement the reform process underway.
Now there's trade, and then there's also boosting the U.S. military presence in the region. Secretary of State Clinton stopped in Australia on the way. The president didn't go there, but the U.S. under Obama deployed some Marines to Australia, and that seemed to be aimed at China. And Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has also been on this Asian tour, and on Friday in Cambodia, he framed U.S. interest in the region this way.
The United States will increase the size and number of exercises that we participate in the Pacific with our Southeast Asia partners. And we are devoting new funding to this goal.
So, Suzanne, what kinds of military exercises in particular? And is this to intimidate China? Is it necessary? Is this U.S. aggression that hurts our relations with China?
Well, first let me say that Secretary Panetta and the Pentagon have, as part of this pivot, have been implementing a new defense strategy that's focused on projecting U.S. power in Asia. I think it's notable now that we have troops in Australia, and the number is supposed to grow over the coming years. It's also notable that we're conducting more joint military-to-military exercises with countries throughout Asia, and our naval presence in the Pacific is growing. Currently, it's about 50-50 in deployment between the Atlantic and Pacific, and Panetta and the President have announced that the intention is to move it to 60% in the Pacific. So clearly, this is a shift to exert more power, military power in the region. And of course, you know, one clear way to read this is it is a ramping up of deterrence in reaction to China's growing power in the region. China is spending more and more on its military, especially its naval capacity in Pacific waters. So in some ways, this is a reaction to that. But I think it also, Brian, it does go beyond China as well. It's really a recognition that China's, that the United States' future prosperity, economic growth, and security increasingly is going to be more and more tied to Asia.
In Cambodia, the president met with leaders during the East Asia Summit, and there were open and quite public discussions about the territorial disputes between China and other nations in the South China Sea. But what role does the U.S. have to play in those disputes? I can imagine if the United States was having a territorial dispute with, I don't know, Argentina or Brazil, and suddenly China was deploying troops and saying they had an interest in how this turned out. Imagine if the tables were turned like that. So what legitimate role does the United States have to play in those disputes?
Well, it's important to recognize that Asian leaders themselves are encouraging the United States to help reduce tension in the South China Sea and other disputed territories. So this is a role that the United States is being asked to play. I think by building up its naval presence in Asian waterways, that's a role it could easily play in terms of just being present. But beyond that, one thing that struck me as interesting is when Secretary Panetta visited Vietnam in June, he did hint that the U.S. Navy would like access to Cam Ranh, which obviously has some historic meaning from the Vietnam War, a deep water port facing the contested waters of the South China Sea.
Are you convinced that this kind of U.S. deployment decreases tensions, which is what you said, as opposed to increases tensions?
I think that remains to be seen. I think right now we're in a period where the Chinese certainly see it as increasing tensions, but it's reassuring many of our Asian allies. So in that sense, it is reducing tensions for them.
As it happens, I'm going to China next week with a group of journalists, and I've been reading some articles that are critical of the belligerents on both sides and ask if the U.S. and China might find areas of mutual benefit even as China rises as a regional and world power. We don't hear much about that notion publicly, even though I suspect our diplomats are probably quietly working toward as much of that as possible. But the presidential election, with all the saber rattling, didn't help. Here is something that President Obama said, speaking to reporters during a meeting with Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao.
It's important that our two countries cooperate to build a more secure and prosperous future for the Asia-Pacific region and for the world.
So that was the president just yesterday on this trip. He didn't go to China, but he did meet with Wen. So I guess the question is, from your perspective at the Asia Society, are there areas that you can name where the U.S. and a growing China can be as mutually beneficial to each other as threats to each other?
Absolutely. I think this is the way forward for the future, is to find exactly what you've said, those areas. And there are many where U.S.-China cooperation will be a big difference. And I should mention that the other countries of Asia do not want to see escalating conflict between China and the United States. They deal with both countries and both governments. They don't want to have to choose. They don't want another Cold War in their backyard. So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, one area is economic development, where obviously we've seen when the Chinese economy started encountering some problems and its growth, incredible growth started to slow down, it affected us. It affected world markets. So it really shows how interdependent our economies have become. It's not a zero-sum game anymore. It can be a win-win, where if China's economy is going well, that means our economy will go well too. Another area it strikes me where there should be cooperation is how to deal with climate change and global warming. These are serious issues that, as we have seen here in the United States, extreme weather patterns emerging. The Chinese have if not more environmental issues than we're facing. So this is clearly another area where we should be cooperating.
Any quick thought before you go on the new president of China, Xi Jinping, and how he would reposition China with respect to the United States or not?
I think we're going to see a bit of status quo going forward with the Chinese. I don't think we should be expecting any big risks or changes in strategy. The fact that they know President Obama and are familiar with his government, I think they also see some more continuity than change. I think the challenge for the Obama administration will be how to manage the relationship with the rising China while it carries out this very expansive policy towards Asia, and making sure the Chinese don't get overly defensive, which would heighten tensions.
And we will have to leave it there with Suzanne DiMaggio, Vice President of Global Policy Programs for the Asia Society, talking about President Obama's trip to Asia, Southeast Asia in particular, over the last few days. And I'll throw in one other thing real quick, Suzanne. It's kind of ironic, because he's trying to have everybody notice this big pivot from a focus on the Middle East and Afghanistan to a focus on Asia, and Gaza flares up right at this moment and distracts all the attention. So how much do you think they lost in terms of getting the message out that they were trying to get out?
It was a bit of a setback, and it really injects a dose of reality. How realistic is this Asia pivot when, as you mentioned, we have escalating conflict in Gaza, not to mention an ongoing civil war in Syria, rapidly progressing nuclear program in Iran? It really does make you stop and think, can this administration focus on so many issues at the same time?
And Secretary of State Clinton, as was not originally planned, flew directly from Southeast Asia to the Middle East today, and we'll talk about that trip and that situation a little later in the program with David Sanger. But Suzanne DiMaggio, Vice President of Global Policy Programs for the Asia Society, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, linguist Jeffrey Nunberg on the words and phrases the presidential campaign left us with. Stay tuned.